I'd like to call the Library Joint Powers 40 Board of Monday, August 9th, 2010 to order. Kara, can we have a roll call?
Supervisor Peary?
Here.
Citizen Gert?
Here.
Citizen Gorson?
Here.
Councilmember Byers?
Here.
Citizen Poitinger?
Here.
Councilmember Reed? Councilmember Rockin? Supervisor Stone? And Councilmember Story?
Here.
I'm sorry, my computer's talking and I don't know how to make it. Does anybody, I don't know how to make it.
Just drop it.
On an iPad? No, it's a tablet. It's an HP tablet.
And our computer people aren't here tonight.
All right, well, cover it. All right, so just ignore it and I'll try and.
It's okay, don't worry about it. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
What if the tape
we have an agenda in front of us. Do we have a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. And we have minutes in front of us. Any corrections?
Yes, on page, I don't know if that's 6 or 8, just Suzanne's name, Kobler's name is spelled wrong.
All right. Anything else? Motion to approve?
Also move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We should have some extensions, though, since we wasn't here.
Oh, I wasn't here. Technically, you don't have to stay. No, you don't. Technically, you don't have to stay.
Yeah, we don't.
Okay. All right. Oral communications. This is the time for members of the board or the public to bring up items that are not on the agenda that do have to do with libraries. So, anyway. Okay.
Yes. I'm Darby Kramers. I'm with the Boulder Creek Friends. And I just want to let you know that on August 28th, this is a Saturday from 1 to 4, the Boulder Creek community will be celebrating the 25th anniversary of our beautiful library building. And you'll be receiving formal invitations, but I just wanted to take the opportunity to invite you personally to attend.
Thank you, Darby. Anything else? Okay. Nothing on the consent agenda, so moving on to written communications.
I just want to mention that on page 16, you probably wonder why did I put an article in about Sawton, assuming I'm saying that right, prison in Edinburgh. The bottom, I put an asterisk there. I just thought it was interesting wording. Linda Constable, chairwoman of the judging committee, said, the project demonstrates an evidence is changing lives. And I thought that was an interesting turn of phrase since we've been adopting it ourselves. Also, when it comes to the statistical report, page 44 and 48, we have year-end statistics now. And actually, it held pretty steady month to month. I mean, the annual really reflected, there wasn't great deviation. So, yes, we were down. Circulation, reference, busyness, visitors, but per hour, we were up. So I just thought that was
Teresa, for purposes of when we go back in the future to look at this, you won't remember certain things. For example, it would be good to note somewhere on the document when the furlough began.
Okay.
And when the hours were reduced so that if we're going back to look, we can understand that that might impact some of these
okay.
numbers.
I'll add that.
And that's on both the
per
hour and regular.
I'm working on an annual report, but not there yet. And there's no spotlight this month because we didn't assign one because we didn't think we were meeting in August, so we get the month off. What was your next one? Any questions on anything else?
No, I'd just like to note that if people have not read that response that the Chicago Library Commissioner wrote to, I think it was Fox News, who had aired a program saying, you know, libraries are irrelevant in this day and age. It was such a good response. It was such a good response.
It really was.
All right. Hi, Randy.
Hello.
Reports of advisory bodies, friends. I don't see anyone.
Oh, there you are. I'm the only thing. I don't remember our last meeting, so I think it's been a while. I don't really have a report.
Okay. There's no report from the Finance Committee because we did not have a meeting in July. Member reports. Scott Valley.
Scott Valley is here. We are going to be having a groundbreaking this Saturday, August 14th at 11 o'clock. Public invited if you want to come. The heavy lifting, the real construction is going to start, I believe, on August 22nd. And we'll be able to, we're hopeful to complete that project sometime in the spring of 2011. And Teresa seems to be, I know she knows more about this than I do.
You're doing great.
And the financial goals of the Scotts Valley Friends of the Library have been, they've been doing pretty well. I think they have a goal of $250,000, and I think they've raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $125,000. Not the least of which is, I believe, a $50,000 donation from Seagate, kind of a parting gift. we'll take it, yeah. And on September 11th, there's going to be a barbecue by the Friends of the Library. And forgive me, I'm not exactly sure where that's going to be, but it's
community a center.
Community center. It's going to be kind of a Hawaiian thing, I believe. So bring your coolest.
A tropical tale, I think.
Tropical, okay.
Tale to you.
Yeah. And I think they'll provide little drinks with the umbrellas and. So we'll have that going for us.
It's an auction.
Yeah. So anybody wants to donate. I'm really asking the wrong crowd, though, aren't I? No, friends asking friends. But that's pretty much it. And so I'm sure Jim's probably explained the dynamics of that particular project, but... The bids were open. Has he discussed that? The bids came in. The bids were decent. Right along the line, maybe a little less than expected. So things seem to be doing okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Capitola report.
I don't believe we've had a meeting since our last meeting, and so I don't think I have anything to add a report. Now, let's see, do you?
We had a meeting, but it was pretty slow. Not much
happening there.
Well,
we're still meeting. I want to report, and so.
Actually, the RFQ went out for program.
The program that's open, yeah.
And did the request to the city council for a grant writer go to the city council yet?
And not for a grant writer, for the program designer. Came to the city council, that was approved. And so I think we're still awaiting the request for a grant writer.
All right, staff reports.
We have the tentative year end. This did not include the revenue, what you got did not include the revenues. June revenues received in July, but entered in August. And I did get them later in the day, but I did not have a chance to give you anything. I got a revised version. Did you? Because I seem to make 10 copies. Oh, I did, 10 copies of the expenditure report. Oh, the personnel. Personnel was not included in here. So I made copies of that. Did you bring the...
I did. One copy.
So...
Got all the reports of revenue, expenditures,
balance sheet, and cash.
So the bottom line is, how'd we do?
Bottom line is, we had a positive cash balance of $120,000. But more importantly, a positive fund balance of $503,000. Which is encouraging. We still haven't done absolutely everything, but I asked the staff over and over again. I told there's nothing significant still out there, even though we're still tweaking a few things. So that's good. That's a definite improvement.
That's great. And I was going to give you personnel, but then they sent me the new one. It's basic. If you want it, you can have a copy, but you might want to just wait for the real final report. But it's basically 100% personnel. So there was nothing. Expenditures were about, as you saw, about 93-94%. So we did really well. Good job, staff.
Any questions for Teresa or Jeff? Revenues, expenses, Sam.
Yeah, that's excellent news. That's great to hear. When will the kind of final report for the June 30th year end be completed? Maybe by the next meeting, or
yes. It still won't be audited, but it will be, right, from our perspective, the final numbers.
Yes.
Okay. So we have it by the next finance meeting, August 23rd?
That's a little close. But we're right.
Catherine, what were we projecting our year-end would be?
We were hoping for about 200,000 at the most. At one point, I thought it was going to be 100,000.
No,
it's 500. Still not sure how.
So yeah, I was just going to ask, to what do we owe this marvelous?
Well, the temporary expenditures were, we saved about 140,000, 170,000 in that, which I thought meant we were going to be under expended in personnel, but we weren't. So we were right on. So I'm not sure. Well, the materials budget, we did accept a 270, not this year, but about, you know, 250,000 plus, $300,000 reduction in the materials budget. So that's really the
oh my God.
So 70,000.
I'm sorry.
I feel your pain, I understand.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My son usually calls during these meetings.
Yeah, that was my son.
Just figure out how to train.
You have some new equipment.
I think I put mine on vibrate.
Right? Yeah, here I am. Two new things I'm trying to spend this week figuring them out.
So I don't have a feeling exactly what it is. It's a whole number of things, but we could certainly get you an answer.
We underexpended a number of different categories. Travel came in low. Actually, training ended up coming in low, which surprised me, but just actually almost nickels and dimes throughout the janitorial came in low, and I think that's in part because we changed contracts before the end of the fiscal year, and our new contract is much lower than the old one, but of course we budgeted at a higher amount, so I think that one accounted for quite a bit of it. So it's just, you're there and everywhere, we just...
Well, if you look at the supplies kind of subcategory, it's the savings of $427,000 right there. Now, that includes the materials?
That includes materials.
Right, the materials budget, and as well as library functional supplies.
Yeah, that would be things used to process the materials. So. I think library cards, I think we bought enough last year. We didn't have to buy any this year. So it's savings along. And in some of those things, you have the transition of who was preparing the budget. And so, since Ann had always done it, and last year Susan was doing it, she may not have known that, you know, library cards, it was pretty much chaos. So she just budgeted what she budgeted the previous year, and then library cards are expensive. So that's a lot of things here and there. We'll go over it more carefully when we have the final numbers. It was like, how much do you want to put into the semifinals? It's just going to change on you. Good news, though. And I understand from Jack that the last three months of this year, we did not need to borrow money.
That's right.
Big applause.
We're not anywhere near out of the woods yet, but it's definitely better than the Peachtree News was this time last year.
Yeah, much better. Any other questions on finances?
Okay, workers' comp, I just included, I didn't include the city, I just included the libraries just to show you how nice and low it was for 9-10. We really did a good job there.
Good question. Isn't the safety committee still doing their thing?
Oh, yeah. I think something that's really saved us this year, because our busyness per hour was up, the fact that we don't have day due cards. Staff isn't having to open every book all the time, and will be less and less as we go through the rebarcoding, which is moving right along. Those cab workers have been the guys. They finished Central, they finished Aptos in like record time. They moved on to Branson 40, and we're thinking they can get Scott Valley done before we lose them at the end of September.
Great.
So that's been a great program. So that's one way we have benefited from the. ARA funds.
What?
ARA?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I thought you said.
Yeah. Does anybody know what it's in American Recovery Reinvestment. I was going to say Reconstruction Act. Contact the Civil War, I guess.
I don't know what your policy is about people asking questions out here.
If you raise your hand, then I can call on you. So, Darby, go ahead.
I was just curious about the books. Wasn't last year the year in which a large amount of money came from the Friends also for books?
They do every year.
Is that reflected in here or not? That's separate.
Part of it is separate. Some of it's reflected in the Friends gifts and donations, which is, you'll see, is like at 117% or something like that. So the Friends money comes to us in several different ways, and some of it is, some of it is friends spend, some of it is trust funds that actually get transferred into our budget, like Richards and, well, not Richards, but the other two, McCaskill, Finkelday, or, well, those are all the ones too. There's a couple of Friends ones that get transferred in. Others come in the line of gifts and donations.
As far as expenditures, I thought part of it was specifically for books.
Yes.
Does that modify the budget?
No, it does not modify the budget.
Okay. So possibly that's why there's so much extra
in books periodically,
because
the resources used? No, because we chose not to spend, I can't remember the exact number now, but almost $300,000 of the materials budget. We chose not to spend it. We simply chose not to spend the money that was allotted.
But the true amount that was available was 809 plus whatever the
price. 809, but we chose not to spend $300,000. So yes, that's why there's a big savings.
Okay. Any other questions from the public or comments? All right.
Okay, last month we talked about staying open during the two-week closure that the city is going to observe. And I didn't have good figures on what it might cost. I still don't really have figures on that, but what I said I would bring back to you is what did we spend this year on cashing out leave time for people? We spent $4,000, and holiday converted to vacation was 96.33 hours. So it's not a huge amount in terms of a liability. What it might be with this, it's really impossible to predict. It can go so many different ways, but it doesn't look like we have a huge liability. Summer reading update. You have a report on the summer reading program. Maybe this counts as a spotlight for the month. Janice did a wonderful report. Staff did an incredible job. Anybody make it to Battle of the Bands? I was sweating in Phoenix, but I was with my granddaughter, so it was worth it.
Mike was there. He started the Battle of the Bands off.
Oh, Mike as mayor. Mm-hmm. It was apparently an incredible event. I mean, look at the attendance. It was just amazing. 682 people,
yeah.
Which is really wonderful, and wonderful community partnerships that we developed, and that's what's key to a lot of this. These are relationships that are going to continue throughout the year. So
the point I hope to make is that this was a really good example of how staff and volunteers and small business can work together and create something much larger than the individual. So it was a remarkable summer. We had a lot of good partnerships. We worked with the Felton Friends in a different way, and programming that was incredibly successful, tying it to the farmers market in the Tuesday. It was a wonderful summer for partnerships that will now last.
Great. I really commend you and all the staff that also supported it. We have three resolutions that we need approved. Two of them are to accept grants. The first one is just moving money. Actually, they're in a different order in the packet. Page 81 is to accept the $750 grant from the Pacific Library Partnership for the Technology Petting Zoo, which is a program with new gadgets that will happen probably in January or February, sometime around then. There's a resolution to accept a $12,000 grant from the Community Foundation for a marketing plan. And the last one is really just moving money between expense categories. It's money you've already approved for the new phone system, but it apparently has to be in a different line than it's in, and for some reason you need to approve that. So you can approve them all at once if you want.
Any questions?
Take the money, right?
I'll move approval of all three if we can move that way.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Motion passes.
President? You know, this would be a perfect agenda item for consent.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're right. Okay.
You know, so something like that.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. All right. We'll
our future.
We weren't even thinking of that. Just getting in there. All right. Moving on to other business. Okay, the first one, and I'm done for the night, is the contract with the consultant to assist the task force. And actually, we did announce that, but at the Friends last meeting, I didn't even bring it up. One of the Friends, actually, Teal. You can thank Teal right here. He brought it up to the Friends and said, why don't the Friends pay for this? And they are.
Thank you, Jill.
Yes. But they're Friends. We're still running, for simplicity's sake, rather than have this person contract with the Friends, still contracting with the library and then the president gets the money. So I wanted you to approve the contract, which I realized I saw you before I gave it to you, but I was just signing. Right in front of me, I signed it.
Maybe it's in here. I didn't see it. Looking for like a resume of this person. Something about her.
Oh, I didn't provide that because I guess I didn't even think about it. But
yeah, actually, I'll
go ahead, Ellen.
You know, we've had a couple, either two or three conference calls with her now, and I don't know anything about her except for those conference calls, but I've just been really impressed. Really impressed. I think she is going to be, that's not me, right?
No.
You should have said yes. She's racist, you ask.
I think she's just going to be a tremendous help for the task force, and she just seems knowledgeable about everything we bring up, frankly. But we're really, you know, we're focusing on these different models, right. And she knows how libraries function around the world, really. And as topics came up, she would just, she was just really knowledgeable. And but at the same time, I felt like she was really wanting to do whatever it was that we wanted to do. So she doesn't seem to have an agenda or a way that she wants us to go or anything like that. I was impressed with her.
And Teresa, you can probably just give a quick summary of her background. She was a librarian for many years. I can't remember. Was it in Sacramento? I know it's been in the Bay Area.
I thought it was Contra Costa or something.
It's been in the Bay Area. It might have been Contra Costa. And then I'm not sure how many years ago she went into consulting, but she's known nationally as one of several library futurists.
and she actually is partnered now with a gentleman named George Needham, and they kind of, for want of a better term, have a dog and pony show, which they do webinars. They go across the country speaking. She speaks at national conferences all the time. She's actually came here. When was it that she came here and did a staff training?
Several years ago.
We actually had her up in Corvallis, and we brought her up from here, from Sacramento, to do a training with our staff up there. So libraries employ her to do staff training to kind of get people thinking in new ways, and so she's a national figure, and we're so fortunate that she's so close.
I think she'll be really helpful.
And she really knows California libraries. She knows Santa Cruz. I mean, she's very knowledgeable.
Thanks. Any other questions or comments on the contract?
I'll move to approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. I'll take it from here for a little bit. Next is an update that goes through a progress report, which I must be
good. I got to make sure mine's off.
I've never heard any of this before.
I don't know how to turn mine off. So
is yours a droid?
Is it a droid?
It's a droid.
That's right. The librarians know everything. All right, well, I'll keep going here. I'm not going to, you can read the progress report. I'm not going to go through it. And I think you know everything in this already. The only thing we haven't talked about is that we were fortunate enough to get a library intern from the San Jose State Library School and to assist us on the task force. So we were very happy about that. And hopefully he'll learn a lot. I'm sure he'll learn a lot and help us quite a bit. Next are the milestones. Again, I'm not going to go through this in detail. My expectation is these will all change as soon as we get going. So, and the third is financial sustainability guidelines, which I'll let Lee talk to because she was the one that drew them up with a lot of input.
As we were starting to think about how the task force was going to work, we realized we needed some basic financial criteria so that when we're comparing models, we can compare apples to apples, you know, so that one model isn't, you know, predicated on no savings ever and spending, you know, $2 million on books, and another one is, you know, predicated on something else. So we put together sort of, I think, 5 or 6 major kind of standards and criteria that that the task force will use for planning purposes. It's not that the board is necessarily going to adopt all of these. I'm sure there are things in here that people might disagree with. The one that we had the most internal debate over was what percentage to put for reserves, and we decided on 15%. So, you know, I mean, the board has talked about 5% before, but just thought as long as we're doing this, we'll put it in 15, and that can always change. So really, the assumptions are based on our strategic plan, on the 5-year operating plan projections, and there is one assumption that isn't on the version that you have that we had just talked about recently with the consultant, Jennifer Williams, and that's that the projections that we're looking at don't include any cost savings that we might realize from things that are already being implemented, like self-check, because we don't know the full cost savings with this yet. So we're kind of, in terms of projections, we're not counting on those savings. So we're taking the projections as they are. But, you know, no furlough, 8% of books, you know, things that we've talked about before. And then, yeah, it just kind of walks through the specific criteria. And then at the end, there's some key financial assumptions and constraints on the last page. And we kind of had a lot of debate about this, too. It's
tricky to try and come up with models for things that are changing, like the building situation in Belton, Capitola, Scotts Valley, all of these things. So we decided that the models would assume a status quo in terms of construction of new facilities, meaning that we're basically assuming that there aren't going to be any, there's no expansion built into these models right now. Fees stay the same, debt service stays the same, and services and staffing, you know, we're moving towards self-check, single point of service, and the model should take into account staff training that might need to be done. So these are kind of the outlines, and that's what the task force will hopefully be using as we move forward, assuming there aren't any major changes or revisions.
I think that what we're looking for here is to get the board to set the direction for the task force on these items. And so there may well be items on here that we need to discuss, and there may be a different direction that this board wants to set for the task force. And so that's really the reason for bringing it here, is for the board to look at it, say, yes, we like this, or we'd rather have a different assumption from one of these. We did have our consultant look at this quickly, and she didn't, my recollection is she didn't come up with any anything that looked strange or wrong to her. As Lee already said, we're not asking the board to set up library policy about any of these. This is really just to set direction for the task force, so the task force can move ahead with its job and get those models put together. So, Randy.
I'm looking on page 76. We adopted for year 11-12. Now, is this a running balance? Because I'm seeing that for that year, total expenditures of 11-8 and revenues of 10-7, but you have a positive cash flow. Is that, am I reading that wrong?
It should be adopted 11-12. It should have been projected 11-20.
No, I might have changed.
But you see what I'm saying? The expenditures are $1 million more, but you have a positive.
It's in parentheses.
It's in parentheses. Oh, okay.
It's down. Oh, I'm sorry. It's down below.
That should have been projected.
Sorry.
Yes.
Mine are hard to read here.
Yeah. Sam?
Yeah. Following up on what you reported about the reserve goal being 15%. And this five-year operating plan that we had already reviewed and approved has a $300,000 a year contribution to the reserve.
Well, there's,
are we making changes now to those projections and those commitments?
No, and that's the thing. I mean, this is not something that the board is adopting as, you know, set in stone, like we're going to set aside 15%. It's just a ballpark target that we picked for the task force, so that when they're putting together budget models, you know, there's, on the next page, on page 77, it's sort of like, well, if we want to save, you know, 5%, we need to set aside this amount per year. If we want to save 10%, we need to set aside a larger amount. And also, depending on how far out we want to take the reserve projections, like, do we want to build a reserve by the end of fiscal year 14-15 or 15-16, you know. So it's a little bit arbitrary. We picked some numbers, but
you know, and I want to make it clear, this wasn't a consensus on the on the task force. I mean, I think 15% is just crazy. It's just pie in the sky. I mean, it's nice, those people, in a perfect world, but we'd be really, really lucky to get to 5%. And so, you know, I don't think there should be a 15% reserve in here. We just don't have that kind of money.
And to get to one of your other questions, I mean, when you look at the projection on page 76, the reason that we say it goes from a 4 to 4.5 million deficit is because there's sort of this, the base is the first three lines where it says, fund balance at the beginning of year, total revenues, total expenditures, net operating gain and loss, and then fund balance at year end. That's if we just keep things at status quo, and then the stuff underneath that is stuff that we could put in, but that is,
we know we need, but
that is not budgeted at this point. So that's where we get into the higher, if we were to budget for these things, we'd get into the higher net operating loss. So those aren't built in at this point.
Yeah, I was assuming that what we had adopted as a five-year historic or moving forward projection establishes the goal. That the goal is $300,000 a year to contribute toward the reserve.
That's not my understanding. Yeah. Was that the projection, which is on this page, goes down through fund balance at year end. That's just basically a financial calculation that Jack and Teresa did, you know, based on some assumptions on expense increases and revenue increases, hopefully. What's below that was, I think, a best estimate from Teresa.
Where are you?
Page 76.
The five-year operating
budget. The projections. Yeah. And below that was, I don't know what you'd call it, Teresa, but an estimate as far as might be a good way to approach starting to get our technology replacement, our reserves, et cetera. But from a standpoint of the board adopting that as a goal, I don't think we did. I mean, we could go back and look at that, the minutes from that meeting, but that's not how I viewed it.
Okay. Well, I guess...
$300,000 would actually be 15.
Just information.
Depending how many years.
Well, if you did 300 a year, I mean, we only showed five years here. So I guess going back, maybe it comes to what's the definition of sustainability, but... In the year 11-12, we're showing a shortfall of $1,400,012,459. And I said, okay, that's our projected shortfall. That's the target number that the committee was going to be trying to zero out. Mm-hmm. So is that the number, or is it now going to be some other number that the committee is going to be focused on? Is that the wrong question to ask?
Well, I think it could be a different number based on what the board says tonight about these assumptions. If the board is going to say, no, we want the assumptions to be exactly what are on these projections, then it will be the same number. But some of the information in this report would lead us to some different numbers. And so the bottom line would then change. And the reason we wanted to bring the financial assumptions here now, obviously, is to get that done before the task force has its first meeting and starts working.
I'd like to add that the task force subcommittee asked me to ask Jack for an opinion on the reserve and on the debt service and how much debt we should or could have, and on the reserve issue, what you recommended. So. Would you like to speak to that?
I know I've mentioned 5% as an absolute minimum in the past, but I don't really think that's quite enough from a cash flow. The most important thing is to cover cash flow. And there are times where the county owes the library $800,000 in a month. So you're waiting for the $800,000. So I sort of see that as a minimum, $800,000. I might equate that to something close to an 8%. But beyond that, you know, the other reasons for having reserves traditionally are to deal with the unexpected expenditures or unexpected shortfalls in revenue. And then, you know, whether it's a disaster or some litigation or some unexpected problem you have, you need to have something in the bank to cover those other costs. And then, of course, the other piece, and I guess you're talking about dealing with it separately, but if you have any capital plans for, you know, capital projects or replacement computers or whatever, you want to build towards something like that. But it looks like you're looking at it as a separate reserve report. So if you put aside the capital needs for a moment, the things you need to cover are cash flow and the unexpected expenditures. But an absolute minimum, the cash flow. So I would say an 8% to cover the cash flow. And then 10% gets you a little bit more, and 15% I would say would be more comfortable. I recognize there's some trade-offs to doing that. That hurts, that makes it harder and very difficult. So that's why the idea of transitioning over time does make sense to me, to build towards the reserve that you want to do. Well, you're not forced to do anything faster. And on the debt side, some entities have debt policies, and they'll say, among other things, that you'll set a percentage of your budget, of your operating budget, that you would be willing to spend on debt service. And so I know a common one is 5% of the operating cost. When I calculated what we're spending in the library currently, it's a little bit under 4%. There are entities out there that spend up to 10%, but I think that's risky to do that. So I personally like a 5%. And so, as you know, some of the debts you have are going to disappear in the next few years. And so, you know, there'll be some more capacity for debt at that point, assuming that the budget can handle those additional debt.
Randy?
Is the current goal of reserve right around 5% now?
I'm not sure there is an established one.
Okay, well, let's just say for purposes of our discussion that it is. Right now, there's no reserve, right? Okay. So, you know, human nature being what it is, you know, if you have a 5% goal, essentially, if you back up 5%, and you have zero, sometimes having a higher goal, even though you don't meet it, you still end up meeting a portion of that goal. So I don't think it's really unwise to have a higher goal for that reserve. We've seen just in your report how, you know, saving money set aside, being frugal with dollars has really added up. You don't know where it came from, but $500,000 is real money. So I think that direction of being prudent, financially prudent, particularly considering the operating necessities that you need just to have dollars available to meet bills, is not an unwise one. I tend to agree with the committee's recommendation.
Catherine?
Well, just on that, I just think 15% is way beyond. I like the idea of 8%, but that's up to you people to rethink that. But, I mean, that's just pie in the sky.
There wasn't consensus on that.
Somehow there's got to be a little reality built in.
Absolutely.
But that leads me, maybe it's a little question for Jack. I was assumes revenues will remain flat. Now, the sales tax is certainly up in the city of Santa Cruz, so I just want to maybe, Jack, you could address that a little bit about revenues in general in the city. I mean, this is a countywide system, I understand that, but.
I think that didn't get changed. It's relatively flat.
Relatively flat. It's flat for this year, but I think in the next couple of years after that,
didn't we get changed? What do you mean small increase? 1-2%.
You mean this should be changed?
Well, if you look at the on page 76 at the total revenues, I mean, it goes from
I understood
10,
that.
9 to 11.1. I mean, they are going up a little bit.
How much? Is that I can't do the percent.
Well, if you look at total revenues,
yeah.
I think we built in 1-2% basically starting in 11-12.
Yeah, that changes about a
and it's
percent.
Up in the it's up in 10-11 and it's projected to be up.
There's a
I believe there was a 1% in 11-12, or did we leave it flat 11-12?
We might have left it flat, I'd have to look back at the
this is looking pretty flat here.
Again, this is just for planning purposes.
Sort of give you some ideas about your assumptions, whether you stick with those or you want some input from us.
No, we definitely want some.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just. That's something to further understand that. There's one other one to bring up. Sorry.
If I may, I think our expectation was that both revenues and expenditures will be pretty flat. We know things like costs like pensions and health care costs
will offset any.
Will go up more than everything else. But everywhere else, we were assuming things would be pretty flat.
And that's what the county was giving us, too.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that. But just a flat out statement will be remain flat is sort of not quite correct. But you could say the expenditures will go up, and that makes sense. So that was that. Sorry, let me get this one over my head. I mentioned the 15%. Sure. Oh, so now we end up with a $500,000 this year. I mean, that's...
Yes, yeah. We cut our materials budget by $300,000.
No, I understand that. I understand. But, I mean, we didn't spend it. Now we have. So I'm kind of... What happens with the $500,000?
Well, I don't think we have all that because we went into the year with a deficit.
But no, that's...
Right.
But the bottom line is...
But this is over and above the deficit.
Yes,
over and above it.
Yeah.
Over
you're correct. We started the year with a negative fund balance. We ended the year with a $500,000 positive fund balance in the year.
We really need to figure out where that came from.
Yeah. Right. I'm just sharing that. That this is very curious, and will this, in fact, reduce a lot of these numbers and change them? So.
I think that as we get our final reckoning, that I would expect that whenever that is, if that's September, that would be great. The board will need to take a look and make some decisions as to what we want to do with that. And yes, that could then change this purposes of...
change the actual dollars needed, but it doesn't change the assumptions of what we should have.
Well, it may change the assumptions on expenditures. May. Don't know yet.
It may change the
adjust the budget. I mean, if we're off by $500,000, that's a big deal. That's a lot of money.
It's what we need.
I think it's tough because it's hard to put a stake in the ground. We need to put a stake in the ground at some point so the task force can not continue to reiterate everything.
Right. No, I understand.
Certainly, the later we can put that stake in the ground, the better, because we'll have better information.
Yes. Yeah. And just now I'm back at the budget, what was $120,000 we came out ahead? What was that line?
That was the budgeted operating margin, if you will, for the new year.
Okay.
Revenues would be $120,000 more than expenditures in the new year.
In the new year.
We ended the year $500,000. The $120,000 would make it $620,000 at the end of the year if the budget came true, if we spent everything.
Okay, those are mine. Oh, a lot of them are going through this plan. The other one I was sort of page 80. It wasn't totally confusing, but it seemed contradictory. Not expected the very last recommendation of a specific model to the board. I've always understood that. You're not going to come in with this. But what is, however, there's consensus? What's the deal?
Well, I think if the task force at the end sort of all sat around and said, boy, we really like model B, we would certainly want to put that in the report to the board.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Consensus.
We would like the board to know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to say one more thing on the matter of the reserves. I kind of agree with what Randy said. I mean, I think 15% is high in terms of what we could realistically do with our budget, but I feel like if we're going through this effort of putting together models to be sustainable, we should aim high for something that we need to do. And, you know, we might not get there. Maybe the task force will say, okay, well, these models all work, except there's no way we're going to meet that goal. And then that's something that the board can decide. But I feel like if we don't start to at least chip away at it and put it in there, then we're never going to give ourselves the option to be able to do that. Or it's going to make it harder to reach that. So
I'm
more in favor of putting 15% for planning purposes.
I agree we ought to have a reserve in there. But we also have to remember that every dollar that we put in reserve is money that we're not spending on services. Mm-hmm. And so that would have us spend 10% of our budget would be in a reserve that, I mean, we're not providing services, or we're closing branches, or we're doing whatever.
But it's also hopefully short term. I mean, if we build a reserve, hopefully nothing happens.
And we don't.
Then that money becomes available.
Correct.
Once you build it.
Well, you mean in the future, you're not adding to the reserve if you don't have to use it.
Yeah.
Anything else? Let's stand.
I did want to go back to that projection, and because one of the assumptions in building that was that it says that staffing levels will stay at, staffing stays at current levels, mm-hmm. which I assume that hours stay will stay at current hours. Mm-hmm. And will the committee be looking at reinstating to regular hours?
Well,
and what that expense is? And
regular hours is all relative. I mean, it really depends on
increased hours.
On the models. Mm-hmm. We decided not to put in an assumption about hours that they needed to be at a certain level or anything like that, because it sort of seemed too complicated. Like, kind of, we were kind of getting ahead of ourselves, so we didn't put that in there.
Well, and the way you brought this up, actually, I hadn't thought about that assumption the way you're reading it. I was focusing on the no furlough.
But you're right, because staffing levels stay at the current level, that means we're not making changes, you know. We're not closing branches, or we're not doing any of those things. So, but I don't think that's what we intended here. We intended to say there's no furlough. That doesn't mean to say we're going to employ the same number of people in every model and forever and ever.
Well, that is simply to say where these five-year revenue projection numbers come from. It doesn't mean that as the task force does their work that those assumptions will be.
So in order to improve the five-year revenues, we're going to have to do something different.
Right. The financial projections are based on staffing staying the way it is and the furlough going away. The numbers that were projected back in February or March. That's based on, and I don't know exactly where you're reading.
I think there's sort of a misreading of what these projections are going to be used for in the task force. I think that's confusing us. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, the other board members that are, have been meeting about this.
You know I will.
I shouldn't have to say that. The assumption, moving ahead with assumptions for the task force's work, the assumption is that we will use the revenue projections from this projection here. But as far as the total expenditures or staffing or hours, that's what the task force's job is. So we're not going to give any assumptions to the task force because that's what we hope the task force is going to tell us to come up with, is what kind of staff do we need? How many hours can the library stay open based on the revenues that we believe we're going to have coming in that we're seeing from these projections. So the projections are in here just to say, you know, the task force needs to look at these, and the assumptions for the projections are just that. They're not assumptions for the task force.
Really,
those assumptions are just, that's how these projections were built. Mm-hmm. Now the task force is going to need to really look at the revenues and use that as a sort of a fixed assumption, because we're not asking the task force to figure out ways of generating new revenues. We're asking the task force to look at the expense side of the equation.
So really the assumptions for the task force are on page 78, key financial assumptions and constraints. Those are the real constraints that the task force would have, and not necessarily the constraints of the budget projections of that. I mean, we'll have to do models within the revenue projections. But you know, the funding, like the funding, you know, we're not going to identify new sources. Facilities will stay status quo. You know, debt service stays at a certain level. Fees stay the same. Those are the constraints of the test force.
So but there's no mention in here of the hours open.
Correct.
Hours
right. That's right.
Well,
there's
no
put a constraint in there.
There's no
staffing constraint in there.
There's no constraints one way or the other written
in there.
That's
right.
So through your process of modeling, you're going to look at status quo hours, increased hours.
Sure, I see.
Okay.
A whole range.
As long as the modeling is going to reflect all those possible varying operating styles, and then we can see what are the choices that will need to be made in order to either accomplish hours or not have hours. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have hours, we accomplish this. Okay. So
I think an interesting question that Joan Fry Williams asked us on the last call was, do you want your models to be reaching a fiscal, what's most important, tell me if I get this wrong, to be reaching a fiscal target, or are you looking at your models to be providing a certain kind of service, you know, maybe out there, you know, more avant-garde service, whatever. And we said the primary goal was the fiscal savings, was the money. And she's got, because she said, I can present models to you that address different things as their main goal. And if you want finance as your main goal, then that's going to change the universe of models that she might recommend that we try out. Is that sense of what?
You know, I don't remember exactly like that, but I think it's accurate that we're doing this because of finances.
Right.
But I also think that we are starting to put too much emphasis on finances because I feel like we're forgetting the rest of the strategic planning. And there were a whole lot of, you know, of principles and goals that we had in there. And I just want, we just need to remember, you know, why we're running a library, not just how much it costs. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up is on page 76, it talks about, on my computer it says it's 76, it says specific financial criteria and priorities to be used in developing the service model. And
that's for living finances.
Okay.
Page 76, just below the chart.
Below the chart on page 76.
Oh, right there. Yeah, got it.
So one, these are listed as criteria and priorities, but one is that we not be borrowing funds for cash flow, and the second is the question of the reserves, and then there's some others, but I gather from what you're saying that we're not asking the board to adopt these at this point. You're putting out there, but I, you know, because I don't agree on some of these limitations in terms of what the task force will end up looking at.
Can you be more specific?
Well, the reserve is the biggest one.
I mean, I think the issue for the board to give direction to the task force is, I mean, we agreed in our strategic plan that we needed to become financially sustainable, and we defined that without a lot of detail, which is why we're discussing this now. But it was that we get ourselves out of needing to do the short-term borrowing from the city. We didn't say how long we wanted to take to get there. We all agreed we need to get there. So I think it would be good to give some direction to the task force if the board has it and we can come to a consensus. Are we looking at 3 years, 5 years, 8 years down the road that we want to get to a point? I know that Jack would say the sooner the better from the city's standpoint.
You could say 8% in X years and 15% in Y years.
Well, I thought we had adopted 5%. I thought we had adopted 5% as our goal. Danny, we didn't get there. Well, actually, we did get there.
We had gotten there.
I don't know that we adopted it with the thought of getting ourselves out of the short-term cash flow.
Well, I don't know what our thought was. What I thought. What?
5% would never get us.
It was better than zero.
Right. To not having to borrow from the city.
If you have a goal of not borrowing from the city and you're establishing reserves that aren't enough to do that, then you've got two goals that are cross purposes.
Yeah, I mean, cash flow reserve and what I think of as a real reserve, I think of them as really two different things. I guess Jack is thinking about them as sort of the same thing.
I do, too.
What's the question?
Never mind.
Is a cash flow reserve and other extra reserve same thing or two different things? I was thinking of them as two separate.
Yeah, I was thinking of them as two different things, but I guess they can actually accomplish the same purpose. I mean, the whole purpose.
Well, there's multiple purposes there. Yeah. So there is some overlap, but the cash flow is to cover your daily needs, make sure that you don't have to borrow money to pay the bills, even though you might be okay by the end of the year. Got temporary needs. And the other part of the reserve is more of a maybe ongoing or unexpected. Or
so if in fact we have over $500,000 fund balance, can't we basically take that and call it our reserve?
That's not enough to cover.
Maybe it's not, but it's a darn good start.
But I think what I'm hearing say though is if we establish 15%, instead of having to put away $300,000 a year, say it were 10%, instead of having to put away for 10%, having to put away $275 per year, if we want to do it by 14, 15, we have to recalculate that because we're already part of the way there. So now maybe we only have to find another $500,000. And in 4 years, that means we only have to put aside $120,000 rather than the $275,000. So we do need to do a recalculation based on where we end up this year. But philosophically, we still need to know what reserve we're shooting for. And then we'll change the dollars to make it work.
Yeah,
and
it's
how long.
It's Randy.
So it seems like the impetus for this task force really is a fiscal money issue. And really to kind of have... to implement the strategic plan that Ellen talks about, the services and everything else, you know, the precursor to have the ability to do that is to have enough money to meet the goals of a document like that. So, you know, you can talk about services and lack thereof and so forth. You have to pay attention to a lot of that. But it's a lot like, you know, saying, yeah, I want a luxury car, but we just don't have fuel to put it in and drive it anywhere. And so you can have these goals, but without having the fiscal house in order, it's just not going to happen. Okay, you can have all the strategic plans you want, but really what's driving this is lack of money. Okay, let's be honest. And I would assume, again, I haven't been here. I'm just kind of a substitute. I feel like a substitute teacher or something like that. But, you know, to the extent that I see here some of the assumptions, I think they're good. I mean, you know, the flat revenue stream is prudent and reasonable because it's something that you can't really anticipate. You don't know if there's going to be a double-dip recession and, you know, the stock market dropped to 5,000, you know, in 3 weeks. Who knows? I think expenditures are a little bit more predictable. Because what you can do is that those are variables that you can control. You can have furloughs and lessen the amount of money going out, and those things are at the pleasure of the decisions made by this board. But the expenditures are something, or the revenue sources are something that I think you have to be conservative about. And I think that was the original intent.
Catherine, you've had your hand up a little.
Back to the debt, the city's debt. Did you say we went 3 months without owing the city any money?
That's right, the last 3 months. April, May, June.
Does it look like that will continue? August, September, October?
That's
a
huge
big month. August, for some reason, is a big month.
Don't we spend less money at the end of the year?
The tax dollars kind of catch up a little bit. Okay. So sometimes there is pressure at the beginning of the fiscal year. So if there's an issue, it'd be over the next several months.
Okay. But that's good news.
Yes, it is good news.
Very good news. And I just have to spell, you know, when at least when we do this budget, and I know when we do the city budget, Randy, you probably just do the same. On expenditures, yes, it's one thing too. But all of our revenues, whatever the line items are projections. And we just have to do that to build a budget. Mm-hmm. We have to put some kind of projection in there. It can be conservative, yeah. So, and I think
that's what this is.
Right, I think we are. But at the same time, people, community, they don't like a whole fat reserve when services are difficult. And you'll get caught in. I mean, we could get caught in that. I mean, I don't think 8% or whatever would come in would do that. But people. You know, when they see all everything else kind of fewer hours, da 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 da. Why are you sitting with dollars?
But may I respond?
Yeah.
I think people may not like service cuts or things that affect the service as they go in the library, but they respect fiscal responsibility.
Yes.
And so I think that trumps almost everything.
Mm-hmm. And also, if I can remind you that we're not tonight saying we're setting a policy on reserves
right.
for the board.
Right.
We're saying this is the direction to the task force. Now, whatever we set, we set 8%, we set 10, we set 15, if the models that come back based on that the board doesn't like because of the reserve, it can be tweaked. So we want to have a good assumption to send off to the task force, obviously, that we think is realistic and, you know, we want to stick with, but we're not setting the policy tonight.
We want all the models to be working with the same criteria
yeah.
so that we can compare
yeah.
them. That's what we want.
Wait, I just have a clarification question for people who said that they don't like 15%. Is it the dollar amount? Like, you know, assuming we have an $11 million budget, is it, you know, the fact that you don't necessarily want $1 million set aside, or is it the 15% coming out of the budget every year? Because they're kind of two different things. It's how long it takes to get there, or the total amount that we're shooting for. Do you understand the difference? I mean, you know, we can have a budget where we set aside 15%, or we could say that, you know, we want to, our goal is to have $1 million in reserve, but not until 2020, and it will be a 15% or 10% amount, but it won't take as long to get there. So I'm just wondering I just want to know, is it one or the other that you're objecting to, or just?
Well, I'm objecting to the high percent. I would like to see a reserve, a dollar amount in our budget that will pass next spring in reserve. Something 300,000, and that's for things that may come up, a lawsuit or something like that, but not an exorbitant amount. So I don't, whatever.
I think 15% is just too high. But you know, we obviously have to do something.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we have to
agree.
Move in that direction because it's really not really not viable to continue not having reserve sometimes.
If we had another source of revenue and we had that luxury, then
yeah.
I would say yes, because you can look at other library systems and you can see they have quite a healthy reserve, but they also have quite a healthy revenue stream. So we just don't have that luxury right now. And I think it's just too much to pull out of operating what we need to really operate the system.
Well, my answer is I think it depends upon when you have to sacrifice in order to get there and how fast. So until you see that other side of the scale, and just from where we are, it seems like that would be a really heavy sacrifice to get to 15% in 3 years.
How do you mean? What kind of sacrifice are we talking about?
Well, we're already down to... Well, in Capitola, you know, 20 hours a week, and at most of the branches. So,
eight.
I mean, so we've reduced hours. So, are we going to maintain that in order to accomplish 15%, which is $1.5 million? Okay. So, is that sacrifice? Are we going to close neighborhood branches so that we can achieve 15%? Is that the sacrifice?
But that's not an either-or proposition.
Well, I think it is an either-or proposition.
No, because it's going to build up to a 15%, and if you don't spend it, it will probably remain that way. And then, at some point, you have to respect. You know, the need, the dollar needs for operating expenses and so forth. And, you know, when you have 10 libraries that are open, that's the price you pay.
Well, I don't know where the time factor is in this, and you
right.
guys got to work that out and develop the models. And so, but if your question was, I'm not opposed to 15%, that's great. Everyone should have 15% reserve, right? So it's just a matter of what you have to sacrifice to accomplish it in what measure of time.
So it sounds to me like the one assumption is the reserve that is, we're differing, having different opinions on. So I just want to clarify that the rest of these assumptions you're okay with us taking to the task force.
Well, there was no statement in here about the hours.
Hours.
Okay. Okay, and so...
There's no assumption on hours.
Okay, well,
I think that's one of the big components of what the task force will be looking at.
I read that as some just staffing stays at the current level with no furlough.
That's only for the projection. Only for purposes of
and
those
not
projections.
The assumption.
Yeah.
Okay, well, even that, that's where I was having still trouble.
So there's no assumption for how those projections go.
The assumption is there will not be a furlough the third year.
Right, that's correct. That's the only
therefore, there's going to be higher expenditures for personnel.
That's unless there's something else that the task force comes up with to save money elsewhere.
And maybe just I understood that the purpose of the committee is to determine a path toward long-term sustainability. But I think it's sustainability of what? And, you know, if you talk about long-term, it seems that at least going back to what we once considered regular library hours is the long-term goal. So, I mean, it seems that the committee should look at what is that long-term sustainability and defining it of what and then the path to get there. So that was just my understanding of what the objective was there.
I guess I would ask this question then. Would it be beneficial? We who have been talking about this thought it would be beneficial to have the board provide a direction for the task force on the amount of the reserve and the timing of the reserve. Is there a consensus on the board that is the case, or is there some other approach to giving the task force some guidance that we could take? For example, what Sam was just talking about, which is let the task force model a few different reserve and or timing options. That makes it more difficult to compare the models. But,
you know, I mean, I think reserve is a big topic, and we are missing six of our members.
He's emulating
Jim wonderfully.
He's doing an excellent job. It's like he's channeling him.
It's
he
true.
Is.
I feel like he's here.
Yeah.
Mark and Mike. Anyway, I think I would like Mark and Mike to be involved in this discussion if we're going to come to something. What if we just amended that to say, you know, between 5 and 10% for a reserve.
Okay.
And then we can continue talking about that this next month and, you know, before it is here. But it would give us something with that reserve started.
Do we want to pick a member for the task force to be working with?
You know, I think by the September board meeting, the task force won't have actually gotten into the nitty-gritty numbers to that degree.
So,
it's not going to hold anything back. I know.
Okay. Motion or are you just?
Sounds like you're not asking for approval of these particularly. You're just running them by us, correct?
Well, you know, we can do it. It would be nice to have a motion that says something about this assumption. I mean, just so that we know that we're sending some direction to the task force. That's not to say the task force can't come back at some point. So you know that assumption that you gave us direction on, that's really not going to work. We need
and
to
it's
do
not to say that the board can't come back to the task force and say,
that's right.
This isn't working.
So how about if I knew that we accept these assumptions that we're proposing to give to the task force with the one change to the reserve and make the reserve target.
Why don't you just leave it open?
8%.
10%.
7%.
I think a compromise is 10% because if you go between 5 and 15, let me see.
Not.
I can't go for 10%.
No. Huh?
No, I can't.
No.
I won't go for 10%.
No. Why don't you put the motion on the floor?
All right. So my motion is that we accept these assumptions with the change that the reserve target will be between 5 and 10%.
Second.
Any further discussion on the board's part?
May I ask a question? And our trust fund reserves, why are they not available to be used for cash flow?
Because they're designated for specific purposes, and we can't touch them. Other than that, for buying large print materials, and most couple of them, things like that, so we can't use them.
They're restricted.
And we pull money out of them each year that goes into the budget. We can't.
Who controls them?
A couple of controlled by the city and a couple of controlled by the Friends. But they've been gone over, and there's no, you can't break those. They're set for what they're designated for. The wills are very specific.
I don't think you were talking about breaking it. I think he was just talking about
using the money.
Using it for cash flow.
I mean, they're used for investments, right? I mean, they're invested in. But I've always wondered why. I'm sure they're invested. They're probably making 0.0782%, and we're paying more than that to the city. Why they could be used as kind of like you borrow on your 401k, you pay back yourself. You don't have to pay as much. And maybe that's something to consider to move toward.
Two factors. One is what strings are attached, as Chris said. The other is some insurance will get paid back in a, particularly in the same year, just because you can make the argument that if it is allowable use, it would be a short-term loan of some type. So we'd have to gauge the risk or have some assurance, some certification that in fact it's going to get paid back. And the less the reserve is in the operating fund, the harder it is to make that case it's going to get paid back.
I'm not going to support the motion. I mean, you know, when I started on this board, I guess maybe in 1999 or 98 even, they were talking about reserves way back then. And so the tone towards reserves is really kind of migrates towards a lack of will of actually doing it. And I think minimizing and bringing it down makes it less of a priority and really sends a message that it's really not that important. So I think if you're going to be serious about it, you know, we've heard that at least 8, 9, 10% is a prudent thing as a minimum, and then all of a sudden we're just going to say, 5%, you know, 6%, whatever. It just sends a message that you're not really serious about a reserve.
Sam?
The motion was at 10%.
So it could be up to 10%.
Well, I mean, I'm going to support it because, I mean, when we did this 5-year projection, we put in $300,000 as the reserve contribution. That was what we built into our projection, and I assume that's our target. So, and 10% is 275, and we were moderately below that, so not much of a difference. But I was hoping that the committee would go based upon what we had established as our projections moving forward. So we're at 10%, we're about at that. I hope you stay at 10%.
Well, that's assuming that we want to do it by 2014, 15, and not the longer time frame. The next year.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just, because I haven't given my opinion yet, so before we vote, I would like to see at least a 10%. And possibly higher reserve, although I would certainly think we could take a longer time to get there than 2 to 3 years. But I would like the higher target because I believe we need it. We need it for our cash flow issues, which Jack just said are, you know, it's a guess, of course, but $800,000 for that, plus the unanticipated expense portion of the reserves. So if we look at what our revenues are, to get to, you know, somewhere over $1 million in reserve that I think we need to get to, we don't get there with a lower percentage. So that's That's my take on it.
I have a question. If the motion passes at 5 to 10%, it's not clear to me what that means. Is it going to get revisited next month when Mike and Mark are here? And if not, what is the task force supposed to use? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Because I think we are going to need to deal with real numbers when they say, you know, you come up with a model and how much is it going to, you know, target is it going to be?
Well, if you want my response, I guess I would say we can have this conversation with the task force, and they may feel very strongly that it should be 10% or 5% or 15% or something else and come back. In terms of whether the board should, adopt a firm policy, I mean, I guess I would, you know, defer to the chair and you about whether you want to put that on our agenda in the future. I'm certainly willing to continue to talk about it, but I think that the conversation we've had tonight is very good, but it's really not, in my opinion, sort of deep enough for a board policy about what, you know, what our reserve should be. We really need more detail.
Well, I'm just curious how the task force proceeds, though. So, not so much the policy, but what figure are we using for the task force to carry forward?
I think we felt that the decision or the direction on reserves should come from the board. That, I mean, the task force has certainly come up with, you know, a consensus, but I'm not sure what that's based
if
on.
If it's between 5 and 10, we could go with 8.
For the 7.5?
7.5 split the difference.
Yeah. Anyway, but that's not part of the motion.
Right. So Teresa was asking what our figures are going to be that we're going to be working.
I guess I don't understand the intent of the motion and what does it mean? I mean, was it a 5 to 10% established 5 to 10% reserve as an assumption for the task force to move forward on?
Is that what it's in?
Mm-hmm. Actually, we were going to develop a form for submitting motions, and I think this may be a good time to write it out and make sure that we
have it correct.
And we didn't get to doing that form, so let's.
The motion was clear. Well, you can probably restate it.
The motion was that the board accepts assumptions that you've included here, and with the exception of the 15% reserve, and replaces that 15% with a 5 to 10%.
And I second it.
Any other input from the board? Any input from the public before we vote?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. On the book and materials budget. Does that imply that from day one, a minimum of 8% of the total budget must be in every model?
That's what the assumption implies, yes.
Even though the last couple of years have been lower, we want to work up towards that while revenues are down. It just seems so hard to
ask. It is a good question because every year we have looked at that figure and not met the 8%, and so it's very difficult to come to start with these hard and fast numbers.
I would wonder if you wanted to start with current and then go up as revenues go up to the 8%, for example.
You know, I think if we come up with models that have it at 8% and the board doesn't like that for some reason or wants to, you know, we can do that.
Right. The board has clearly set 8% as the target. For materials, whether we made that target or not is another story. We have made it in the past. We made it fairly consistently in the past. We have not made it in the more recent past.
Right. It'll change the model substantially.
Yes.
You start out with that as a fixed expense. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So then I'm trying to understand really the scope of the task force. Will there be, and you have a futurist apparently who's providing some consulting expertise to it. Are you looking at, so what is a good library system? Does it make sense to have a little neighborhood library a mile from the central library, or does it make more sense to have a much better book collection? Are you going to be examining those kinds of values when you look at these?
You know, we're going to talk about that in our next little item, which is goals of the task force. So if you could just hold that, hopefully it will be answered.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm April Milder, and I'm not speaking with staff. I'm speaking with my treasurer hat on. I also serve as a nonprofit board. So it sounds like, if we're fortunate and the numbers are right, we have a $500,000 fund balance, which could be the start of almost 5% reserve. And then if over the next 5 years, or if we needed to make it longer, 8 years, we put aside $100,000, be up to almost the 10%. So I don't think it's big of a deal. It sounds like to some people, it's not like we have to do 15% of our budget every single year. We've got a chunk of it already. We just have to add to that in an increment that we can do without too much sacrifice.
Thank you. Any other inputs? Okay, back to the board. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. How many no's? No.
Three.
Three. Motion passes. Okay.
What we see next?
Next. Next are task force goals. This is in here because we're going to take this to the, you're looking puzzled. It is in the package, right? I printed mine out. I'm not looking online.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Got it.
We will be taking the goals and discussing them at our first task force meeting. So I did want the board to see them in case there's some discussion around these goals. The first paragraph, which is the charge from the Joint Powers Authority Board, you've seen before, so I'm not going to go through that. The goals, the overall goals are to develop a range of financially sustainable models to determine what our future library system will look like and what services will be provided. That certainly includes the hours, and that includes the branches and the facilities. And the reason for providing a range of models is so that the task force can report back to the board in January, and the board can look at the range of models, and the range needs to be, models need to be substantially different from each other. We're not looking for, you know, an infinite number of models. So we're looking for some manageable number of models that are substantially different from each other, so the board really has a wide range of models to choose from. And yes, they could go from, you know, reducing hours further to getting hours to higher than they were 2 years ago. That's up to the task force. In order to do that, of course, the goal is that our task force understands a whole lot about our current system, and I think that will be a large task, and they've already started that. We've given homework before the first meeting. And to understand, of course, the demographics, the economics, et cetera, in our community. Big piece will be exploring best practices and trends and different service models that do exist out there. As we discussed before, many of those will improve service or provide service in a way that perhaps our patrons would prefer, but the focus is going to be on models that can help us be more productive and efficient and therefore save costs. We are expecting the task force to take a system-wide look, to develop a range, as I said, to be flexible and creative, and we all understand it's a moving target. Things change, will continue to change, and we're not going to know what that change is going to be. So we need to keep that in mind as we're developing those models. We're not expecting a recommendation of any specific model to the board. Those are the goals. So any comments, or is there anything left out or that should be added from the board's perspective? Is this what you thought the task force was going to be doing.
The only thing that sort of hit me was this idea that change at a rapid rate. I mean, I come in the library, to me it's like it was 10 years ago. I mean, there's computers now, there's different things, but I wouldn't call the libraries changing at a rapid rate.
Maybe our library isn't, but the library, well, the library environment is changing at a rapid rate.
I've been in a lot of public libraries all over the country, and other than some of the looks of it or the computers, the facility, it just sort of rapid rate, just kind of hit me as,
yeah.
Libraries are changing, obviously, but sure that pointed out to me that it was going to lead into some wild direction here that I hadn't thought about, but that was all. That was just
maybe that was a little hyperbole.
Otherwise, and I couldn't think of anything to add. I thought it was very good. Okay. And you clarified this the second one. Oh, and let me just say about this consensus. What I like with the first the recommendation, but then when you move into consensus, there's always a tug of war. Unless you have a vote, and so I didn't want the task force to get in that position.
No, I think the thought was by some miracle,
you all agree.
People just all thought there was one glowing model, which would be a miracle.
But that's what hit me. So you don't end up having it.
We're not going to ask.
That's what you don't want, though.
We're not going to ask the task force.
Yes. I understand.
And we're only saying that we will put it in the report if, as Nancy says, by magic,
everybody agrees.
Everybody says this is the best model we've ever seen.
That's what I understand. I just wanted to go over that.
Okay. One final question I would like to ask, because our facilitator asked us this question, the board members on the task force, and interestingly enough, we had different responses, and that is, what would you say needs to happen in order for this task force to be successful? So how would you measure the success? At the end of it all, we give you the report, we talk about it at the board. What does the board say?
It's too late for me to answer. Sorry, I'm hungry.
We can take it up in a few minutes.
I mean, it's a good question. I wish I had it in writing to think about. Because I think it's a big question.
It is a big question.
I
think if the task force can come up with 3 to 6 viable ways of balancing our budget and providing the services, I'd be doing great. I'd be thrilled. It would have been completely successful to be able to do that.
Anything else? We should have put this the first topic, and we would all have our hands.
To me, I mean, because there's a phrase in here stating that the task force will, I believe it says, identify or describes the pros and cons and impact on the community of each model. And I really kind of wonder how you're going to determine what the impact is of the various models. If some of those models do include closing branches, how are you going to define the impact? So I think very clearly having the criteria and quantifying what those impacts are. And so no matter what is considered, that we have both sides of the balance scale. If you do this, this is what you're going to lose, and this is how you would quantify, and this is equal to this on this side. And so that you can barely see from a financial standpoint what is the overall system and community loss in terms of one approach as opposed to the other approach. And so that's what, to me, that would be successful and would give, really be helpful for me to make that full and informed decision. I would really hate to see close these branches, this will save the library this amount of money, and that's it. We've done our job. I wouldn't feel that. So I guess that would be my definition of success. Show fully both sides of the scale.
And and I think, and I agree, but and I think the cost to the community is that we'll be including is not just the financial cost. You know, the financial cost, but as well as the loss. Any losses by, you know, a particular branch going away. So a Boulder Creek is closed or something, and we know that the, you know, homeschool group out there won't have a place to meet unless they want to go to Scott Valley or something. But there'll be some, I would hope we would include things like that so we can really understand the balance.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Randy?
I've never served on a transit district, but you know, when they don't have money, they close routes. Don't they? I mean, there's not a whole lot of hand-wringing. I mean, they don't have forums that say, "Boy, this bus is not going to go here." They kind of announce it to the members a little bit, and I know Dean will announce it at a city council meeting or something. But they face economic reality about how much money they have to operate routes. Obviously don't, and if there's not enough money, I guess the number of routes that have been closed by, unfortunately, because, you know, state takeaways and so forth, have been pretty dramatic. So that's an open option, and so I guess, does anybody here serve on the transit? So When you shut down a route, do you have a public hearing along those lines?
Oh, man, we had so many public hearings.
Right.
We just did that.
Okay.
And we had something like 40 public meetings before we made any changes to any of the routes. And there was a lot of, there was a proposal, there were changes, there was another proposal, there were changes to that, there was another proposal, there were changes
and
to that.
That's what I think this task force is going to be good about. But at the end of the day, I guess my second follow-up question would be, did you shut down any routes or did you keep them all open?
Of course,
okay.
Of course.
So that's
you can't spend money that you don't have, either as a library or as a transit district. But what the transit district did, and I personally thought, you know, 40, 45 meetings was a little excessive, but the when we got to the end, nobody was objecting. We really had been able to work it out, to work out the really big problems. Not that everybody out there was happy, but that, you know, we came to something that was acceptable.
Did you have fewer services and fewer routes?
We had fewer services, and we had a unanimous approval.
So along that approach, you know, and I won't be here, but, you know, I would just encourage you to have that. At some point, somebody's going to have a hard-headed fiscal approach to this problem. Because if I don't know where the page is now, but in year 13, 14, or 14, 15, those are really, really astounding numbers, deficits. That I don't see how you phrase it, but that's...
Well, that's what we're
going to
do.
Okay. I'll take it at your word.
Any other inputs?
Now I'm making noise. Good.
Just waking it up.
We start talking to each other.
Okay.
Did you need a motion on this, or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. It's not quite as clear cut as the assumptions. All right. Moving on to another. The grand jury report response.
I will start on this. There is a page, I guess it's in the packet, page 83, and this is a correction to that page.
While we're passing it out, I'll just explain to the members of the public that board is required by the grand jury to respond to specific items that the grand jury identifies for us. And we asked a subcommittee comprised of Nancy Gert, Jim Reed, and Sam Story to go off and draft the board's response, and that's what we're looking at tonight. And Nancy was part of that committee.
Yeah, so at 4 o'clock this afternoon, Barbara called me and spotted an error, so that's this correction.
Oh.
So if there are any questions to any of the responses.
Where is the direction on here?
It's at the very top. It's page 6, F6. It was the wrong
description.
That was a different question.
The original one actually took the wrong finding.
I think it was an F8, but you don't need to know the numbers.
Okay. So clearly the answer was not right.
And mine's okay? I can go back and check it against mine.
Yours is okay.
Yeah, yours is
okay
fine because
I
had a lot. You had a bunch more. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's how I found it.
I haven't seen it. And I sent you the correct copy.
I also, page 89, Nancy did an incredible job, but got it to me at about half an hour before I needed to get it to Kira. So I went over it and didn't have a chance to talk to Nancy, and I actually made it, we were both wrong. Page 89 under response, this is very, very minor, requires further analysis.
Which one on
page 89, right above R7. It should be the task force is the library director, 3 staff members.
Oh. Oh, the makeup of it.
The makeup of the committee. The 4 becomes 3. Nancy had 2, but I didn't realize she had me in there, so I moved it to 4. But it's really cute.
And I found a typo, so let's get that one out of the way before we're done. That's on page 84, the top of the page. Under the response, agree. Sales taxes were projected to, I'm assuming the word increase is left out of there.
Sorry. Increase. Yeah, spell check won't find it.
And then another just minor editorial, not a content kind of question, is on the same page. The response under F21, the partially disagree response, the last sentence, which says, given the current situation, we do not anticipate this issue occurring. This issue needs to be defined. I'm not sure what it's referring to.
This was Jim's. Is that true?
It's borrowing of money? Is that what the issue is?
What page is this on?
Page 84.
F21.
The one that's listed on the
F21. Yeah, this issue is borrowing money, it looks like. So that needs to be rephrased.
Okay. We do not anticipate borrowing.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
I think we're really close to borrowing right now at $100,000. Cash balance at June 30th, it's very possible there will be supply.
You know, if we look at Teresa's draft response, I think there was more information in there, and this last sentence made sense in her response.
Yeah. Sam, did you do this one, or did Jim?
No, Jim did this one, but okay. The way I understood what he was, this issue being that we're reaching the maximum loan balance, because it refers to answering the partial disagrees that the loan balance does not average between 1 and 1.4 million. That's not the average. Even though he said these are maximum amounts, we did incur the maximum at times. But then he's going to say that we will not be incurring the maximum the changes and with being in the blind this year.
Because that's in mine, it comes after my comment about that.
I'm not channeling right now, otherwise I'd be
able to. Can you call Jim?
He went offline.
There is
he. He's out having a few drinks somewhere right now. So I think it could just be changed to we do not anticipate
exceeding
the limits or something like that.
Yeah.
The
document.
Yeah. Do you need a motion to pass this on? Teresa, to mail it in?
Do I mail it in, or do you guys need to sign it and send it yourselves? Or do you want us to?
I don't know. I'll have to look at what the.
Whatever property.
Why don't we take a motion so we're sure what
I move that we forward to the grand jury our our response to the findings of August 3rd, and that the president will do according to procedures.
Second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
If you want, I can make the changes.
Okay.
And then put it. I think
use the one I just sent you.
This one you just sent me. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll use that one.
Okay. And I can have them prepare it as a letter the way mine is for Barbara's signature. And then I'll see Barbara one of these days and we'll sign it. And I'll go back over mine and make sure everybody's copacetic.
Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah, Nancy deserves all the credit for reading this and keeping it organized and pushing this forward. So thank you, Nancy.
And Jack is drafting this too.
All right, let's move on. Parking list, nothing on it.
Nothing.
Next month we'll start looking at policies. Great. Board evaluation update. Of course, there's nothing on that. And last, the questions about library hours.
I just wanted to pose a question to the board. In light of the fact that the task force is starting to meet and your changes are coming, in the meantime, would you like us to look at how we might be able to eke out a few more hours at probably each branch? I can't make any promises on how much it would be, but maybe as little as 2 hours, a week, but depending. We've been kind of looking at some things, but is this something you'd want to do and approve in September, implementation, and we have to give 2 weeks, 30 days. Anybody remember? What?
10 days.
So we would start in October, or whenever pay periods were and all that. Or, given the fact that the task force is meeting, do you just want to wait on?
I'd like to see the alternatives.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what the possibilities are and where the money comes right. from. And what's it
well, this wouldn't be any additional money. We wouldn't be. This is with existing staff, just opening more hours.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean,
I just it's a lot of change. I mean, we change it in October. We may unchange it in 6 months later. I just want to. With eyes wide open, that it's not making any promises that this
right.
is making
right. sense. But we have the ability to do it.
Could it be like 2 months later, though? Because on the one hand, change can be upsetting. In other words, you've reduced hours. People now, to some extent, accept that. All of a sudden, you're going to change it back and then be forced to change it again. Sometimes that's not the best way to operate.
That's why I'm bringing the question here.
So why don't we put it on the agenda and talk about it?
Yeah, see what you come in with.
Okay,
great.
I do have the Felt and Boulder Creek people. We have now succeeded. We've separated LaSalva and Capitola are now a unit. Felt and Boulder Creek are a unit.
LaSalva and Capitola.
No, we separated them from Apples. LaSalva and Capitola are now supervised by a manager.
Oh, I see.
Boulder Creek and Felton were supervised by someone, and just today we finalized doing that for Brent's 40 Garfield Park. So we don't have the cross, the supervisors in the larger branches, Scott Valley, Aptos, and Central, and Live Oak don't have to supervise elsewhere. The Boulder Creek Felton people have been looking at theirs, and we could look at them tonight if you want and increase hours sooner in Boulder Creek and Felt. If you want to look at it as a total package, we can wait and do that.
I don't think that it's on the agenda for making a decision tonight. So
questions about library hours is what's on the agenda.
Yeah. So my take would be wait for the next board meeting. Sam, you had something you
thought
I saw you
talk about
before.
I would just, I think we should wait. I would like to get a better sense of why we saved so much money last fiscal year. Hopefully all that could come back in the next meeting. The analysis of that and then the increase of hours. Just so that we can be sure. I think sustainability of whatever we do is an important question. So.
the hours have nothing, I mean, this is with, the hours would be with existing staff, cost, no additional cost. It's just reevaluating the cuts that were made a year ago that that staff's now in those patterns and recognizing that we have staff in facilities before they open in order to do, to get some work done, and we are finding that we probably could be open for some of those hours. Not all of them. I mean, right. I'm not talking a lot here, people. Right. Don't get too excited. You're all getting too excited.
Well, it's going the right direction.
Yeah. But so wouldn't. But I mean, it so really doesn't. It's not why we saved money this year. But
I would say, yeah.
But if you want to, I just wanted to get a sense of, and that's it. Kind of came up right as the agenda was finishing. So I came late because there's just, do you want us to look at this or not? Or do you want to wait? And that's why I wanted to hear comments like Randy made.
Lee, did you have some?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very valid point that we don't want to just kind of constantly be swinging all over the place. But I feel like if, you know, if we're adding an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours here, that's something that the public would really appreciate and be able to use. And, you know, maybe we'll end up with a big change next year. But I feel like that would, you know, if we do it in September or October, that's a long enough time that I think the public would be very honest. I'd be in favor.
And it sounds like this is kind of a result of things settling down after a lot of changes have already occurred, right? So mm-hmm. one could assume that that would be remain somewhat constant.
Well, until
Teresa,
the task force.
Yeah. Right. Teresa, what would you recommend for Boulder and Zephyr?
What's your recommendation to us?
Felton would pick up 7 hours and Boulder Creek would pick up 9 hours.
At no cost?
A month or a week?
A week.
Ooh. At no cost?
That's the big one. The others I don't think are going to be that, that major. Now, I do need to put the caveat on that is, and one of my concerns about just doing that is if we need to look at system, what happens throughout the system, and if we can only pick up 2 hours someplace else, is that what we want, or do we want to see if we can use, you know, how can we massage it to, you know, maybe even out the increase? I don't know. I mean, there's lots of possibilities. But we've done some preliminary work, and that is the most dramatic one. Do not expect that system line. Okay. Just don't get your expectations too high. I know Nancy's salivating. with good reason. And this started. This came from staff. This didn't come from me forcing it. It was staff.
Staff's on.
But
I'd be great. I don't know.
Staff said, you know, I think we can be open some more hours in some
specifically
places.
At different locations.
A couple of locations brought it up, and then I asked everyone to look at it. And so we're just starting to look at it.
I think we should look at it as the system as a whole. I mean, it would be great to say, let's do this right this second. But I sort of feel like the prudent thing to do would be to.
And it is questionable whether it's on the agenda or not, so that's...
Yeah. Okay. But so we'll look at the whole recommendation in September. Thank you. So, with that, the next meeting is Monday, September 13th, which sounds like will be a very full agenda. So we're adjourned. All right.